Jameson Lopp. So the closing panel, it's going to be like an overview of what's happening in Bitcoin. And I want to start with the question that I started with last year. And I'm wondering what the answers are going to be this year. What do you think is the current state of Bitcoin compared to last year? What's happening? Let's start with Elizabeth, maybe, because she's
sure.
So positive.
So by the way, last year I was sitting next to Craig Wright, Peter, so I don't know what happened here. His name tag actually said Craig Wright. Well, obviously I'm biased because, you know, I've been in the weeds of the Lightning world, but to me, one thing that I think has been really exciting is, you know, there's this concept of BIDL, although I don't even know how to properly pronounce it, but HODL to build. And I really think we've seen so many developers come into the community, so much excitement. I've actually met a lot of people that said, for example, for Lightning, you know, they were interested in Bitcoin and maybe they were, you know, building applications and doing like web development, and Lightning was something that got them interested in Bitcoin. So to see a lot of new people come into the community, get interested and excited about all this stuff to me has been incredible over the past year. I also think this year was way less dramatic, right? So if you guys remember, like, about a year ago, Breaking Bitcoin Paris, it was like the height of everything that was going on with No2x. And, you know, the community prevailed, right? Like, Bitcoin was not attacked at the end of the day. Of course, as we all knew, and I think we're reliant on, you know, Bitcoin is not ruled by any one party. There are so many different parties involved, and it will not be attacked by a small group of people, you know, in a hotel room, like, trying to make deals. And I think we've seen the evolution of things. We focused on building and coming out with, you know, Taproot, Graphroot, if people have followed what's going on there, cool new technologies instead of a lot of the distractions that were there previously. So to me, this has been a year of really just building technology.
Yeah, bear markets are great for developers.
I agree.
I remember the last bear market was actually when I went full time. It was like shortly after the Mt. Gox crash, and there was a lot of despair everywhere. People,
take it you didn't have any money there.
No, thankfully, but you know, a lot of people questioning whether or not Bitcoin would be around in a few years, whether or not it was going to go anywhere, you know, whether like this was the end and we were just grinding down into nothingness. And, you know, this bear market has definitely had its fair share of despair and a few people who might come up with various reasons to believe that, you know, there will never be another great bubble again and whatnot. But I think that, you know, once again, with another hype cycle, we managed to capture a lot of interest. And, you know, some of those people may have lost interest, but I think that a lot of them have stuck around. And it seems like the people who have looked beyond just like price and exchange rates have realized that there really is a lot going on, and that the developer momentum has continued, if not accelerated, at least in part due to Lightning, due to growing of the ecosystem, creating a lot more jobs. And so at least at Casa, when we're looking ahead right now, we think one of our biggest challenges is just going to be hiring.
Eric?
I'm just writing code. To me, probably the most noticeable thing is a year ago, everybody was just talking about splits and forks and how mayhem was going to ensue if, you know, somebody dared run their node differently than somebody else. I didn't really care, and now I like that we don't talk about that stuff anymore because it's happened and it's not a big deal. So we can keep writing code.
Good enough.
You know, in probably the past hour, well, like between the last time I was on stage and now, what, you know, 30 minutes ago, I probably did more Bitcoin transactions than I'd done like in the entire year prior, because I was sitting on yalls.org reading through some articles and paying with Lightning. And they all just work and they're kind of magic, and it's just magic. And that's kind of a very, very new experience. And it kind of it lives up to many of these expectations people go have. Now, you know, I can go say a lot of stuff about how other aspects of Lightning, I think, add dangers to Bitcoin and so on. But the reality is the user experience side of it actually works. And, you know, I think it's incredible seeing something go from such a prototype, you know, idea on a piece of paper stage, something that you can actually run on a phone and actually make a payment and that's actually instant. And I think it really shows what you can go do building on top of Bitcoin. And I'd say the other bit, and I know other people touch on other ways, I think Bcash was wonderful for Bitcoin because it split and let all these people do their own thing. And that's a wonderful outcome. You know, they have different philosophy and we may not agree with them, but let them do their thing and not bother us. And they can say whatever they want on RBTC and Bcash Twitter, and it's really not our problem.
So I will try to be quite short. So, and I would like to quote the Ganze. So first, they ignore you. Then they lout on you. They try to fight you, and then you win. So, and answering what state they are, so I think they are something between fight and win. So there is 75 forks right now of Bitcoin. So none of them even have value. But just to get the consensus, just to go forward faster, you should like be agree what you're doing and how you're doing. And then the forks is splitting for a separate solution, separate blockchain. So it's meaning the people who was angry, who was disturbing, who was disagree, who was practically breaking you to make the future steps, they right now have their own project. And they are trying to prove what they are more capable, they are more efficient, they are trying to build more efficient solution. And it's meaning we can move faster. The Bitcoin is still number one. If you check the source code of all like altcoins, so for most of altcoins, they are copying the Bitcoin and it's practically 90%. So they are trying to reach their own goals. They are trying to get the faster transaction. They are trying to do a lot of things. But what most of them are missing, they are missing the brilliant equilibrium what Bitcoin did. So the Bitcoin consists from three different points. It's technical solution, it's economical solution, and it's also social equilibrium. So, and it's building the absolutely new dimension how all the economy is working. It's practically changing the old style economy from two-dimensional for three-dimensional. And this is why the lot of financial guys are making their mistakes. So they are trying to find the analogies, and Bitcoin doesn't have analogies. It's an evolutionary, more efficient tool. And they are still exploring it.
All right, so I would like to come back to one of the biggest developments that happened this year, to Lightning. Elizabeth, you talked so positively about you know all the changes and adoption happening, but I really would like to know, what do you think are the current challenges with Lightning? What are there any issues that you think are important and hard to solve maybe at this point?
So first of all, one thing I should say is when we released the mainnet beta, we intentionally did not have a UI for that because we knew this was early, this is an early beta. Like, it's not done. And I think Jameson actually had a great tweet about this. When will Lightning be done? Well, it'll never be done. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. You know, Bitcoin is still in beta. As long as Bitcoin is in beta, Lightning will definitely be in beta and for quite a while longer as well. So this is not done and it's not ready. It's an ongoing process. There are bugs. Like, we've had incredible testing from the community, but please do not put like $325,000 on the network at this point in time, as mentioned. In terms of challenges, I'm really passionate about usability. And of course, some people have tweeted like, Lightning is so unusable, nobody will ever be able to use it. Well, it turns out people can use it. But certainly in terms of getting users familiar with the concept of having funds in Lightning and funds out of Lightning. So one analogy I've used is if the Bitcoin blockchain is like a decentralized savings account, Lightning is like a decentralized transaction account or checking account with instant payments. So I think, first of all, getting people, for example, with all the Lightning apps that are out there, they're typically, aside from HTLC.me, non-custodial. So there's the key management issue, which is a general issue, not just for Lightning, but for Bitcoin more broadly, especially if we want to bring users that aren't as familiar with these concepts. You know, if they're like, oh, I have to write down all these words. What if I lose them? So working on those challenges, kind of the intersection of security and usability. But then also the concept of channels. Our goal is to not have to have most users even look at that. If you're advanced and you want to go into settings, so in our app you can see in the advanced mode, you can look at your channels. But our goal is to really simplify this. But we're not there yet. You know, people, it's awesome that Peter's like using an app and buying stuff on y'all's. But for example, with the mobile apps that are out there today, you can only send and you cannot receive. And that's because we don't have watchtowers yet, right? So I cannot stress that we've made amazing progress, but we're still very early. You know, we're in the mid-90s in the internet world. We have not even had the advent of the mobile phone yet, so to speak. You know, the iPhone came out in 2007. So I think a lot of it is just going to be hard work and building out the routing infrastructure, getting watchtowers up and running, like getting a good UI. Just there's a lot of work left to be done, and it's going to be challenging. And I think we'll get there, but it's going to take time. And people want it in a lot of ways to be like already done, and we're just not there yet.
I also want to go point out, you know, you referred to me using Lightning Go Pay for All. I've deliberately made a choice to go and use Eclair for that with default settings exactly like any other user would use, because I want to go see it from their point of view. You know, I'm not using Lightning through a node that I run. I'm not using Eclair with, you know, my own payment channel set up. I'm using it right out of the box the same way anyone would, doing the most obvious thing, because I want to see that experience.
I remember you were tweeting maybe 6 months ago, you installed a Lightning wallet and you said, oh, it's unusable, and then like barely like a month passed and you said, oh, now it's actually usable, now it's something. So I guess, do you see that progress continuing every month?
In fact, like not only did it go from that, this is completely unusable to this actually kind of works. I mean, even more recently I noticed, well, last time I tried it maybe a month ago, payments were taking, you know, a few seconds to go and get the initial routing or whatever the heck Claire is doing behind the scenes. Last time I was trying it earlier, just every payment worked instantly.
Now, Alex, I had a chance to talk to one of your engineers who are working on Lightning and said they actually, something that Roger Ver, I'm sure, would be happy to hear, they actually have a coffee machine in Kiev accepting Lightning payments. Do you have any thoughts on Lightning right now, on the state of Lightning and whether it's usable?
So, first of all, I need even to repeat myself like a year ago. Just to create like mass adoption and usage, you should try the technology each day. And just to better understand the technology, you need the documentation. The Bitcoin and Lightning is still missing the documentation. But there is a reason why it doesn't have the documentation, because it's still in development and we're developing. And why the like using the coffee machine in Kyiv using the Lightning? Because people can just each day, it's really developers and everyone who is in office. They can touch the technology. They can understand how it's working. Then they immediately need, they immediately get the knowledge what need to be changed to make it really useful. And they feeling and they understand the technology. But they also need to create more developers, because if it doesn't have the developers, so it's very hard to adopt any technology. The Ethereum made quite a great point just to make the Ethereum more usable. So during 1 year, six companies was constantly training the developers, and they practically create the developer society. If you take the developer and he already know how to use technology, and you're asking him to build something, so he will definitely build what he know. And for Lightning, for Bitcoin, I think they need to create more developers. And just to create the more developers, so they need to train them. This is what the like open source and open software right now is missing. The user interface, like the Elizabeth said, so I think it will be a lot of implementation. I already see quite a lot of implementation in mobile phones, in mobile wallets. People are also trying to integrate it in real like merchant services, in coffee machines, just to try. But they need really good documentation, And I think they need also to somehow self-organize and create the maybe foundation, maybe separate community who will constantly train how to use the technology, who will constantly create the documentation.
So I have a couple of questions about Lightning for Jameson and Eric, they're kind of related to what you were talking about. Does Lightning help with anonymity, and does it help with resisting the state and, you know, Bitcoin being black market money, something people don't want to hear, but does it help or does it not help? What are the implications?
I think it helps because it has stronger privacy by default, and defaults are very important. It is, of course, you know, possible to retain a decent amount of privacy on-chain in Bitcoin, but it takes a lot of work, and you have to understand a lot of different threat vectors. Whereas, you know, Lightning, well, while Bitcoin was originally thought of as this anonymous money, I don't think it was really developed with that in mind. It was always, you know, pseudonymous. But Lightning has really been developed with strong privacy in mind. And so while there still will probably be privacy considerations, especially with regard to like how the on-chain privacy translates to the off-chain privacy when you're opening and closing channels and whatnot, that's where I think you'll hopefully eventually be able to take more of the advances in on-chain privacy, especially as we start getting better types of coin join, better types of aggregated signatures baked into it. So I'm hoping to see a sort of merging of better on-chain privacy to complement the off-chain.
So I don't actually work on Lightning, and I tend not to comment on the specifics of protocols that I haven't implemented. But I think generally, and probably more to the point of your question, for me, from a crypto economic standpoint, layering makes sense, right? What you want to avoid in scaling is reducing the security of the base layer. So by allowing people to make what I call a local security trade-off, right, a person-to-person transaction can be done with a little less security and therefore a little bit more performance, you're not damaging the security of the underlying layer. And then I think that's the important observation about layering in general, and I assume the Lightning is making that trade-off in a reasonable way.
Okay, change of subject. I'm sure a lot of people here in the audience, they came here because they wanted to learn how to use Bitcoin in their own business, maybe start their own Bitcoin business. And I was wondering what your thoughts are, because most of the people here are from the U.S. Alex is not. And I'm sorry?
Canadian.
Peter, right, I'm sorry. Yeah, Peter, Australia, right?
51st state.
Okay. Beautiful. So I was wondering, like, what do you think is the best place to start a Bitcoin business these days? What is the, if you have any thoughts?
Well, I actually did a talk on this, and you really need to go start it around Earth to the speed of light, because once you get far enough away, you know, the time dilation, it all screws things up. But quite seriously, I mean, there aren't really governments around the world that are that against it to the point where you couldn't do anything at all. And equally, you know, the risks you kind of take, I think, are a lot more like who you go deal with. I mean, when I got
into this... By the way, I would disagree in Venezuela. There are a few out there.
That is true. There are some places that are so screwed up. But, you know, for the most part, like, probably most people in this audience are in a reasonable place to start a Bitcoin business. And I would more focus on really, like, what are you actually doing? And...
Well, there is an exodus of businesses from China, obviously, these days, right? And, I mean, miners are still operating there, but they're continuously clamping down on...
But, I mean, like, as an example, like, I'm a consultant. You know, it's hard to go find places where you couldn't go and do that in the world where you wouldn't be at risk of other things. You know, if I'm off in Venezuela, I'm at a risk no matter what I do. If I'm off in China, I'm at a risk no matter what I do. And I think you really got to have the discussion in terms of, well, what's your actual business plan? What are you doing? Does it fit in your jurisdiction? And fortunately, that would often mean talking to lawyers and local people. And really what more matters is, like, can you actually have community? Can you go meet people? But of course, online works very well. I mean, nobody I know in my city really does much Bitcoin stuff, with few exceptions. But then, of course, I meet everyone around at conferences like this.
Yeah, I think in a way, so for example, with Lightning Labs, we're based in the US, but we have folks around the world. And there's this old concept of like these big tech companies where you had to be in like Silicon Valley or somewhere else. And we don't have that anymore. I mean, we will hire people anywhere. And if we only stuck to one location, we wouldn't be able to, you know, finding Bitcoin developers is really hard. I highly recommend, if folks haven't gotten involved yet, there are many jobs out there. You know, go take Jimmy Song's seminar, you know, read up with the Princeton Bitcoin book, Mastering Bitcoin, so on and so forth. Lots of online resources. There's going to be no dearth of jobs in this area anytime soon. So from my standpoint and from our standpoint, this community is global. I mean, the Berlin Hack Days just sprung up because people, you know, my friends over there were excited about Lightning. We didn't tell them to go do this. So I really do think we don't have to be in any particular location. In terms of starting a business, there are, for certain, say, custodial businesses, there are going to be regulatory concerns. But if you're just building software and building ways for people to, you know, hold their own funds, I think there are a variety of places, and you don't just have to be in the old traditional place.
Okay.
So I would like to turn the questions a little bit otherwise. So first of all, I will definitely will not go to run any business in North Korea. So the China.
How do you even start?
Yeah,
running
the China.
There?
The China also not looking like a good place, but at least they can assign some ranks and say what is a pros and coins. Absolutely same about the rest country, but there is two parts of also, then you're asking, would I run the business? So if I'm receiving and sending and accepting the Bitcoin payment, it's different point. But if you would like to create the product, so first of all, you should get the trained and educated resources. And there is like a lot of sports around the globe. There is a lot of qualified specialists, and you can hire them. And there is another sports, so there is a government already set up regulations and they're creating the good obstacles. And the, one of the good example is Malta or Georgia. They not just setting the regulation, they are not just trying to understand the technology, they also start to educate people, and this is the most greatest point because you're getting resources. There is a lot of developers in Ukraine. There is a lot of developers in Belarus. There is a lot of developers still in San Francisco, but the price there is too high, and there is also quite a lot of questions if you would like to build the new business. And you're just choosing. You're just choosing within location, trying to find the optimal balance between everything.
I just point, like, one of the most interesting Bitcoin meetups I've ever been to was in Nairobi, Kenya. And, you know, that may not come to mind as, well, I should start a Bitcoin business there, but they had actual use cases for Bitcoin and actually needed it to go move money around. And depending on your temperament and what kind of business you might go run, maybe some place that you wouldn't consider is the right place. Maybe actually going off to Venezuela and helping people smuggle money past the government is actually the best thing you can go do with your skill set. It might not be the safest thing to do, but, you know, places you may not have considered may actually need this more. I mean, Bitcoin, after all, is, let's face it, not a replacement for fiat if you assume governments are trustworthy. You know, if you make that assumption, fiat's going to be pretty efficient. But if you're not making that assumption, then Bitcoin starts to look attractive. Well, where in the world are you not going to make that assumption?
Well, I'm going to end up restating pretty much what Peter said. Stole my thunder. But 20 to 30% of the world's economy is black market. And in many parts of the world, that's what keeps people alive. So go break the law. It's a black market money.
So, the Peter touched one, the very, very useful and valued point. So, only less than 7% of the population on the globe have access to banking system. And I think the Africa and third countries, they will first of all will push forward adoption for a Bitcoin. Because it's quite easy to use Bitcoin. You doesn't need any banks. You just need the mobile phone. And they have mobile phones. There is almost like 68% of the global population have mobile phones. So they just need to provide them useful application. And I think Bitcoin plus the Lightning can be exactly this like solution altogether, what will push everything forward. And these third party will start to use very, very simple tool which really allow them to perform payment. And also save from the inflation, also save from like very regulated government or dirty governments who are just stealing money and doesn't do anything.
All right, so this is going to be the final question because I know everybody's tired. You guys are going to be here on the record, and I want you to make a prediction. Any prediction, and we're going to come back to this next year and see, you know, if this materialized or not. But make maybe one prediction. What's going to happen in Bitcoin in 1 year? It could be anything. Could be stupid. Could be not. But maybe start with Jamison.
I think that Bitcoin is going to remain a top contender. I think that we have, you know, sufficient network effect, sufficient interest, investment, developer, et cetera, that I would bet against any sort of flippening of any kind.
So you don't think Bcash is going to be a thing? No? Why not?
I'm optimistic a lot about a lot of things, but not that.
They have such a vibrant community, though.
Prediction is hard, especially about the future. I predict that half the predictions will be wrong.
I better go predict that I'm going to go ship a robust calendar backup system for open timestamps and make my Rust proof Marshall stuff public. Of course, I would have said the same thing last year, but I'm way late on it, so you can make fun of me next year.
So I will try to be quite accurate on my prediction. So I doesn't want to predict the price, and I doesn't want to predict what will happen in the global economy. So my opinion, the global economy is facing the crisis, and it will happen so in nearest maybe 5-10 years. But the Bitcoin can be the really the saver, and it can help to reload all the economy. But what will happen, like in nearest years, a lot of altcoins will definitely fall down because they doesn't have the real economy. By definition, the real economy, if then you're providing like, then you're using like the currency for real deals, for buying the goods or selling the services. And the most of altcoins, they are right now just like play tool. They are played on the exchanges, but they doesn't have the real use case in real life. And all the people, they are gaming through educational phase. Right now, they are trying to understand what the blockchain, what the altcoins, what the Bitcoin is. And some of them will fail. Same like the niche ICO. The ICO is a great tool, but right now we doesn't know still how to use it. And they're making quite a lot of mistakes. And this is the educational phase. On the next level, the real value will stay, and a false value will fall down.
Okay, Elizabeth?
I have a few predictions now that I've had time to think. So my first is I'm going to predict that we're going to have a Schnorr implementation by next year, because I really want that to happen, fingers crossed. Second, a lot more people will be using Lightning on mobile phones once we have watchtowers up and running, because we want people to be able to send and receive. And then third, so one thing we saw in the past year, which I thought was really fascinating, was a lot of these, as I call them, IFOs last year, fork coins, were attacked. We saw various 51% attacks, other double spend attacks, mining attacks. I'm going to predict we're going to see a lot more of those with other coins, especially as the cost to attack them decreases, and people, you know, these are things where we've said for years, like, hey, this is an issue. What if this actually happens? And we've all seen it play out. So I think we'll see more and more attacks on altcoins as well in the coming year.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Let's give a huge round of applause to the panelists. Thank you. All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone. I think it was a great day, and we're going to have an after party in a building nearby. And see you all tomorrow. Stay safu.